All right, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on in Australia with the Australian Open and the visa issues with Novak Djokovic, the number one men's tennis player. He was granted a visa. He had two medical exemptions, both from the Australian Open, the Tennis Association, as well as the Melbourne Tennis Association. So he had Melbourne. He also had the Tennis Association as well. He had those exemptions. He got his visa. He flew to Australia and he was denied entry. Morrison had obviously planned to deny him his entry. I mean, it was pretty clear that Morrison was going to pick a fight, for lack of a better word. He was going to pick a fight with Djokovic and not let him in. Eventually, Djokovic refused to leave. He said, I'm going to stay in Australia and fight this with my legal team. And he stuck around in a Koof hotel in Melbourne. And on Monday, they had the hearings, Monday, Tuesday, and the judge ruled that, you know, Djokovic and his team, when getting the visa application and the medical exemptions, they did everything right, and he should be released. But of course, this leads to where we are today, and you can comment on everything that happened. Where we are today is pretty much that while the judge said that there's no reason for Djokovic's visa to be canceled, for him to be deported, and he should be released and allowed to stay in country, the ruling does permit the federal government to exercise its powers and to decide should they wish to deport him from a federal government level. So this, you know, lies now with the Morrison government if they want to say, you know what, whatever happened with the court cases, the judge, and everything that's happened, even though the ruling says this, we still want you out of the country. And of course, all of this is about the fact that Djokovic refuses to jab up, and he's had the disease, and he's gotten over it, and he has the medical exemptions, but he just simply refuses to jab up, and it looks like the Morrison government, they want him to submit. Anyway, that's a quick roundup of the story. There was a lot of legal issues going on there. What is your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is the legal issues that are actually the central ones, because what we're seeing, in effect, is that somebody acts within the law, and that is unequivocal. We now have a court judgment that says so. He wins a court case, and the court, find it impossible, in effect, to impose their judgment, to make their judgment accepted to the government, which looks like it's simply going to go behind it and essentially, as far as I understand it, deport Djokovic from the country. Now, I've been making points repeatedly. I've been making them many of these points. We've discussed those in on our locals channel with people like Robert Barnes and in other places, that my major concern about many of these regulations that have been imposed is that they are not founded on law, that there is no fundamental legal framework that justifies many of the actions that have been taken. And this case illustrates that. Djokovic has acted according to law. You may not like what he did. You may object to what he did. But there is no conceivable situation, there's no argument any longer that what he did, he acted in a completely lawful, law-abiding sort of way. And it's quite clear that by withdrawing his visa from him, the government was acting in a way that was not compliant with law. But what does the government do after the court has said that it was not complying with the law? It says that it's going to enforce its earlier decision and have him deported anyway. Now, this is a slide towards a, frankly, extremely dangerous situation where laws, regulations, and court decisions no longer have any force because government action, executive action, simply ignores them and overrides them. Now, in theory, it seems to me, despite the fact, you know, that the government, in theory, has the power to deport him, I would have thought if there were a decision to deport him, to deny him a visa and to deny him participation in the Open, I would have thought that Djokovic has a very strong case for judicial review. In other words, for taking this case to the Australian courts, asking them to review the legality of the government's actions, whether that these actions are reasonable within the legal conception of the word, or whether they're arbitrary and therefore oppressive. That's, you know, an absolutely well-known legal route, one that is followed many times within English common law jurisdictions, Australia being, of course, one of them. The difficulty is, I'm not sure that the government is going to allow him to bring that kind of application to the court. I suspect that before that application is made, or worse still, even after that application is made, they will bundle him out of the country. Now, if that is the case, then we will have an even further dissent from, you know, proper respect for law, for due process, and for legal structures. And it is, I'm sorry to say this, part of a trend. We're seeing it in many countries. We're seeing it within the European Union itself. We're seeing it increasingly in the United States. And now, of course, we've seen it perhaps in the most flagrant way of all in Australia.
Yeah, Djokovic is in Melbourne. He's, from what I understand, he's practicing and he's training, but they're very nervous because they're awaiting the federal government's decision, and they just don't know. And so if they do decide to take the nuclear option and deport him, even after the judgments, I mean, doesn't it speak to the fact that maybe the purpose to all of this is, in fact, outside that this was a political witch hunt, a political decision, maybe the purpose of all of this, whether we're speaking about Djokovic, whether we're looking at the U.S. and the OSHA mandates, which is in the Supreme Court and we're waiting for a decision there, whether all the things that have happened in the U.K. and the EU, is this akin to building a new type of legal structure with the Great Reset in mind?
Well, I'm going to go.
Are we looking at the powers that be saying, you know what, we have to start building this parallel legal system, which is pretty much going to be working hand in hand with our political devices, as we build the Great Reset and cases like Djokovic or the OSHA, all these things, these are kind of the rough patches before we get to this new way of legal thinking that we're looking to build in this new utopia.
Well, that may very well be the intention, but the effect is legal nihilism. It is destroying legal structures,
yeah, legal nihilism,
legal protections which already exist. Can I just say, I mean, the central case in English law, which I understand does apply in Australia as well. Remember, Australia and Britain are very interconnected in legal structures. The key case is a famous case in British law called Wensbury. And Wensbury says that if the state, having fully informed itself of the law and of the facts in a particular case, acts in an unreasonable or oppressive manner, then its actions are unlawful. Now, I would have thought this falls fully within the definition of Wensbury. And, you know, when we talk about unreasonable manner, we have to understand that for a court to interpret actions by the government as unreasonable, that means essentially a disregard of the law and of the facts. So this seems to me to fall squarely within that definition. And yet the government must know that. The government's legal advisers must be fully aware of all of this. And yet they're going to go ahead and do it anyway, or so it seems. Now, that is a total reversal, as I said, of a legal principle which is foundational within English common law, which, as I said, applies in Australia, and within all conceptions of due process. And if you take that away, if you take away due process from the way in which a legal system works, well, what you have is no longer a legal system in the sense that most lawyers would understand that word. What you have is a system much more like the kind of system that used to exist in, you know, totalitarian societies like the Soviet Union, where the function of the courts was simply to administer, not the law, but whatever executive decisions the government itself took. And that is not a legal system, as I said, as most people would understand it. It is its diametric opposite.
Yeah, but that is the goal. I mean, I think you summed it up perfectly.
It is.
Legal nihilism. I mean, in order to get to this 2030 or whatever it is agenda that they've set themselves out to get to, in order to create this new Build Back Better society, you have to destroy what you currently have and set up this new system. And there's nothing more important than the legal system. So, no. I mean, you said it. They know they're going to lose, for example, certain cases in the United States. Most likely, they're going to lose the OSHA. Most likely, we'll see. But if things are followed properly, they'll lose that. They know that the Australian government knows they were out of line with Djokovic, but it seems like they're doing it anyway. It's almost like they're saying, you know, we're going to take some losses, we're going to continue to push forward, and eventually we're going to break through, and eventually we're going to change things. Yes. We're gonna have some losses and we're gonna stir up some controversy, but our end goal remains the same, and we're gonna have to go through this rough patch of taking some losses on OSHA or on Djokovic or whatever in order to get to this communist type of legal structure.
Well, I agree with that, but that highlights the extraordinary danger of the situation we are in, because of course this new legal structure, which you're describing, which isn't, of course, a legal structure, is going to destroy the legal framework of the republican systems, the constitutional systems, which underpin the societies of the West. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But you're absolutely right. My impression is that the government, the Australian government, just like the government in the United States at the moment, is in the mood where they're not going to allow a small thing, as it seems to them, like a court decision, to stand in their way. They will use the power of the state to impose their will in a way that hasn't happened in peacetime in English common law-based systems since the early 17th century. I mean, it reverses the entire trend of constitutional and legal development throughout, as I said, the English-speaking, English Commonwealth, English common law world that we've seen ever since the early 1600s. It is, in fact, dare I say this, an astonishing moment, and one which has to fill everyone with foreboding. Now, I would also add that, if they do this, given that, as you correctly say, legal systems are the foundation of society, what they will probably find is that whatever structure they put in its place isn't going to be respected. It's going to depend entirely on, in effect, the coercive power of the state. And what has invariably been found about that kind of approach to, if you like, lawmaking, is that it is brittle and ineffective because the people no longer respect it. They no longer feel that this legal system is one that they can turn to and where they will get a fair hearing, because it's become essentially an instrument of government and therefore, in effect, an instrument that is becoming increasingly oppressive. So they may hope that it will achieve their utopia. They may hope that it will achieve this perfect world that they are looking at. What they're actually going to do is they're going to make Western societies extremely dysfunctional and extremely unhappy. And they're going to face challenges from every single direction, because even though this particular case is perhaps not a one that, you know, is going to make vast issues. I mean, there aren't going to be massive protests around it. The mindset that it reflects will provoke those kind of protests, just as they did in England in the early 17th century, and just as they did in the United States at the end of the 18th.
Yeah, exactly. They want to set up kangaroo courts, for lack of a...
Well, yes. I mean, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what they want to do, it seems to me, because, as you rightly say, it's difficult to believe that if they've been briefed properly by their lawyers, they can generally believe they can win.
Yeah. The judge did a great job in Australia. I mean, he stood firm and he looked at the facts and he voted the right way.
All credit to the judge, by the way. Yes. for providing a proper case. I mean, again, the pressures on a judge at this time must be enormous. And here's one judge who's stood up against them because, as I said, from a legal point of view, this could not be more straightforward.
Yeah. And a final note, you could see a lot of the rumblings of this type of judicial activism in the United States. We were talking about it back in the days of, say, Russiagate and Flynn and all those court cases that we saw and everything that was going on at that time. What we needed was the coup and all of these things, the mandates to come about, and then it just accelerated everything. But we saw rumblings of the disintegration of the legal system back when Trump was president and when we were documenting everything going on in Russiagate and Ukrainegate and the Flynn case and everything in and around Russiagate. I mean, you could see that there were forces at work trying to move the legal system to that direction, but they needed the coup to really accelerate
things.
Absolutely.
And we see deeply politicized investigations. There's one going on now. We see lots of deeply politicized investigations being in common law systems an abomination, by the way. It was something that, you know, you're never supposed to institute a criminal investigation to achieve a political end. I mean, that is something that, again, is contrary to law in the most foundational sense. It's a massive abuse of law to use investigations in that way. But we have a situation where the government seems to have, in Australia, where the government has knowingly acted unlawfully and appears prepared to override a court decision, and presumably is going to override that court decision. When he overrides that court decision, it's going to act in a way that will deny the person, Djokovic, who is at the receiving end of this action, it's going to act to deny him legal redress. Now, just think what that means. If they can do it to Djokovic, who is, you know, a famous person, a tennis player, somebody who can afford good lawyers, well, you know, inevitably it's going to trickle down and it's going to contaminate the entire legal system. Because if they do it to him, they can do it to anyone else.
That's the way it always works. Anyway, all right. We will leave it there. The Durant.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U. And go to the Durant shop, use the code GOODDAY, and get 10% off all merchandise. Take care. There is a Good Day mug. All right. Take care, everybody.